Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
हम रेलवे का नौकरी छोड़ रहे हैं, क्रिकेट खेलते हैं तो हेड ऑफिस से नोटिस आ जाता है, हमसे दोनों नहीं हो पाएगा, इसलिए हम डिसाइड किए हैं कि अभी अपना पूरा फोकस गेम पे डालें।
और जब उमर के साथ क्रिकेट नहीं खेल पाओगे तब गुजारा कैसे होगा?
अगर उधर खड़गपुर में जॉब का सिक्योरिटी में फंस गए ना होगा तो हम आगे कुछ नहीं कर पाएंगे।
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. I have with me the triumphant return of Mansha and Shaz, live from New York, back on the podcast after months, I think.
Yeah, we'll see how triumphant it'll end up being, but it feels great to be back, Fish.
Yeah, it feels really good to be back. I've been waiting for this moment for a while.
I have no response or comment to that.
This is not going well already.
Okay, so this week's topic of discussion is MS Dhoni, The Untold Story. And Shaz, you were actually on the podcast slightly more recently than Mansha, mm-hmm. again. I'm very sorry. For the movie Azhar, which was the last cricket biopic that we had. Significant step up, I think, from that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before we delve in, I have to say that I don't know how I feel about being part of this cricket biopic series you started on the pod, but I don't know when the next one's coming after this one, but yeah. No,
Sachin,
yeah. I'd love to do the Dravid one for sure, but yeah. You know, it's not even in the same league as Azhar. Azhar was a joke. It was like a movie made very unprofessionally. So let's not make any comparisons to that one going forward. I think I like this movie. So it was really well made, and I think Sushant Singh Rajput did a great job.
Yeah, I thought I had very similar views. I really, really liked the movie. Definitely performances stood out. I thought some of the supporting actors were a bit awkward, but I enjoyed that part of it too.
Which ones in particular do you think were awkward?
Santosh, come on.
Yeah, Santosh was great.
Santosh's drinking problem was a bit awkward, but that's like another part of the story. Anyway, I thought that it was very well made. One thing I was like worried about, because I knew going in that Dhoni's like business partner or some like very close friend was actually producing this movie, made me wonder if it would really be like unbiased. I don't know if it was like that unbiased. So I was hoping to see some of his vulnerabilities or like some like negatives in the movie. I didn't see too much of it, but it wasn't like Azhar where you're just basically glorifying the guy continuously. I think you did see some of his vulnerabilities. There was a little bit more that I wish like I could have seen that I didn't see and we didn't delve in too much. But all in all, I thought it was a great movie. I thought Sushant Singh Rajput was very good. And I think what I liked is they didn't over-dramatize too much. Like there was things that were dramatic, but they didn't overdo it. I think a lot has to do with the director is just someone who's like a little bit more restrained and controlled.
Much like Dhoni himself. I think overall, I thought it was good, but it wasn't like anything amazing. I think the expectations going into this movie was this to be like a, you know, full-on classic. I don't think it even was as good as some of the other sports biopics that have come out recently, like Bhag Milka Bhag or Mary Kom even. In terms of the bias thing, I think I felt a bit of that as well, because they kind of just like strayed clear of some of the more controversial parts of his career. Like, for example, the whole IPL Chennai the whole corruption scandal and all of that. They also, I think, And this part I understand because, you know, public can be sensitive. But the whole issue about his phasing out senior players, they kind of just dealt with that very on the surface. And
yeah, very glazed over. Deeper into it.
Yeah. So a lot of those things they kind of couldn't really go into. And I think it did feel like it was kind of, he was always slightly glorified. But they did show parts of his personal life, which, for example, a lot of people wouldn't have seen. I think the whole, his general struggle at, while he was at the railways and felt like he wasn't moving forward was, I think, important. And also the story of his first girlfriend. I think most people didn't even know that this happened before watching the movie. I didn't know for sure, and I had to like look it up after. But it's apparently, it is apparently true. But I thought it still lacked, I don't know, it just like didn't pack a punch. Like, first of all, it was way too long. Like, 3 hours, 10 minutes. The second half, I felt like, was just a series of things happening and events happening without any real insight into what Dhoni was going through. Even when the part about his girlfriend, they didn't, you know, this happened and then he's like, there's this one scene of him crying and upset and then he just moves on again and then, you know, Kiara comes in and the next bunch of stuff happens. So I thought the second half kind of didn't build on what I thought was a good first half.
I think what you both are getting at is the issue faced by anyone who's making a biopic. Like, I'll just talk about the one that was one that was a really good movie, but again, it was very limited. It's just the Steve Jobs movie that Aaron Sorkin made, right? And that was, like, there's a million things you could say about Steve Jobs, and he kind of just limited himself a lot to just focus on these three product launches, which covers maybe like 1% of what the public knows about Steve Jobs or would like to hear about him. But that's kind of what he focused on. And he tried to show aspects of his life that he deemed important for the audience to see through these three product launches. And I think where you focus on a person's life when you're making these biopics is probably the most important decision, right? And these guys definitely veered on the side of, I'm going to refrain from saying whether it painted him in a good or bad light, but just in terms of parts of his life, it focused on his childhood and that, and how he became kind of the player that he was by 2021, and then just tried to jam pack the entire rest of his life from like when he entered the railways and he was eligible for selection to when he achieved the 2011 World Cup. That was kind of crammed together, I thought, and it's tough.
But even then, I feel like they just missed important. Like at the start, they kind of showed his career ascent where he struggles in his first few matches. He's like nervous he's going to be selected.
Yeah.
And then from there, in the next scene, no, and then again, they show the World Cup exit and they again just very quickly show like how public opinion turns and people are facing his house and all of that for like 10 seconds. And then in the next scene, he's captain of the 2007 World T20. Like there was no, the fact, like, I assume the moment when he made captain would have been like a super important and this moment, right? It's like if people who were not cricket fans or didn't follow cricket that regularly would not have known that when T20 World Cup happened, he suddenly became captain.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree.
Remember I asked you this? I was like, wait, why didn't they show that captain C like switch? I remember telling Shaz, because I'm not like a huge cricket fan, but like I clearly realized he's a captain and then something happened for him to become captain, and then that whole like issue wasn't even like touched upon.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think all three of us agree that was one portion that was glaringly missing from his character development, because what the majority of Indian people know him as is he's a really clutch batsman, and he always like takes responsibility when the team is down, and he is very capable in that respect. And that he's a pretty really solid captain. So like that development of his like leadership potential was completely missing from the movie, even like in his early days. Because you know, like sometimes when they're showing somebody is when they're young and they're developing, they try to show experiences they've had that highlight certain aspects of their personality, and they really didn't show anything that would highlight his leadership. He was always during his development, they always kind of focused on the fact that he was a gifted batsman, and there were a bunch of people like looking out for him essentially, right? And a bunch of people who helped him get to where he was, but there was never like this aspect of leadership ever.
That we know Dhoni for. Yeah. Like, yeah. I feel like most people, like, what they know about him is, I guess, the gifted, his talent, but it's also that, like, leadership, and I feel like I agree, like, that part of it, like, that development and where that stemmed from, is just not, like, glazed over.
Yeah, no, the transition from him not being in the team to suddenly being captain of the team and removing everyone from the team was way too quick, I agree.
Yeah. I think the only time when they kind of hint at his captaincy was during that sequence where they show the under-19 Dulip Trophy final, or whatever, I forget what, Kooch Bihar final, when they show Yuvraj walking through like the car park or the basketball court after, and the entire team like stops to look at him and is like in awe of him, and Dhoni just keeps walking.
Mansha really enjoyed that scene. Mansha, what was going through your head?
I did not enjoy that scene. All I was saying is, why? What did I say? I don't even remember.
You were in awe of Yuvraj's swagger.
I was not in awe of Yuvraj. I thought they were like totally like overdoing it. But that whole thing where like Yuvraj was like walking. I mean, I just like made very sarcastic comments. I didn't actually mean them.
Okay.
I was just like, what a player. What a player. Like, I just kept saying that.
Most of the time when you say that, I assume you're
not sarcastic.
Being completely sincere, yeah.
So Shaz, when she says that to you now, you know.
I know, yeah. Took a serious hit to my self-confidence when doing this podcast. Yeah.
But the guy who played Yuvraj at that time like looked exactly like him.
Yeah! Yeah,
it was incredibly scary. His name is Harry Tangri, apparently.
It's like they found a doppelganger and they just like trained him to be an actor.
I don't know how much they trained him.
All he was meant to do was chew gum and then like just like put earphones and like walk with that swag. Yeah.
And stare at Dhoni while bowling to him.
But he also looked like such a soft guy. That it was kind of ironic that he...
Yeah, it was really funny.
Interesting. But so yeah, let's talk about the performances. Sushant Singh I thought was really good.
Yeah, and then let's talk about the different Sushant Singhs. The Sushant Singh that was generated by the computer in the first half. The Sushant Singh that was generated by the computer in the second half was significantly better, I thought.
Yeah, it's like they were going through like a learning process through the film.
Yeah.
And they had like their first drafts in like, you know, the first few scenes. And they decided, let's not revisit those first drafts. It's okay if the rest of the audience sees our like work in progress. And then we'll actually like refine our CGI skills in the second half.
Yeah, it was actually ridiculous.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was saying, yeah, the first half, like, the first time you see him, I was like, this looks really weird, because his head was, like, three times the size of the rest of his body.
And it was, like, floating around somehow in this strange fashion. It looked really off. But then it was weird, because, like, the later scenes where I thought they were pretty tough to generate, because...
Yeah, the actual cricket scenes, right?
Yeah.
So they pretty much superimpose his face on real footage.
Yeah.
So you don't have the other situation of like fake matches and fake people.
Right.
You have like, you see like, you know, for example, the real Yuvraj and KF and the real Sachin and Dravid like batting with him or patting him on the back or doing other stuff.
But yeah, no, and Sushant Singh Rajput was fantastic. I thought like, they did a great job with his makeup towards the latter part of the movie where from some angles and stuff, he actually looked... A little similar to Dhoni, where I would actually not think... I would think he doesn't look anything like Dhoni in real life.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. I thought they did a good job with that. And he was very good because he was kind of like restrained. And he did a lot by not... Like, he didn't talk a lot. Whatever he said was very reserved. And he like played this... I thought he played the role very well. And I thought they even casted the guy who played him as a kid really well. He was like this... You know, tough, capable dude. You know, I don't know. Like, it's weird to say that about a kid, but he seemed like he was a good fit for Dhoni, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's in general that's Sushant Singh Rajput's style. He is a bit more understated. He lets kind of his expressions and his other aspects of his acting do more of the talking than just being very loud and in your face. which is perfect fit for Dhoni because he's also like that.
Right.
The other actor, so Anupam Kher, was as usual the dad.
Yeah, I thought Anupam was, we discussed this, but like he looked older when he was young than when he was old.
Yeah, again.
Like the makeup was a bit odd, but he was good, like he was just the same.
Yeah.
Like it was not really that different from his like usual performance. What I found like interesting or what I liked is how I feel like with these movies they tend to like try showing like, you know, opposition by the parents and like just so much opposition that the person who's like dealing with like chasing their dreams has to like go against them. But what I noticed is agreed like there was some opposition, but like his parents eventually like supported him.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't that dramatic story where, like, this person has to, like, you know, hide completely and, you know, chase his dreams. It was like, yes, he opposed it, but at the end of the day, your parents, like, you know, want you to be happy. So they're doing whatever they can to, like, you know, support you.
And I thought, like, his mother and sister, like, did a very good job in that.
Bhumika.
Like, providing the kind of Bhumika Chawla, who is his sister. Playing the count. Mansha, what is this look that you have on your face? This like smug smile.
She was really happy to see Bhumika Chawla back on the big screen after many years.
No, I was like, after Run and Tere Naam.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry. What were you saying, Kishori?
Interesting. I think the wine is beginning to have its effect on Mansha.
Okay. I don't drink on the job, Bish.
Sure. As she takes a floor sip.
Mantra is silent laughing, by the way. We're not just making fun of her. She also is like very actively involved in this. And she's pouring herself more wine. Fantastic.
Chad, you want to have another? Come on.
Come on, I don't drink on the job.
You don't drink? Okay, fine. You say so. By the way, this is a Saturday night and we're indoors doing this podcast. So, it's okay if we drink some wine.
Okay, back to Dhoni and the supporting cast. What did we think of the two actresses playing his love interests? So, first, Disha Patani, who was his first girlfriend, Priyanka Jha.
I thought she was pretty.
She's Tiger Shroff's girlfriend, no? I thought she was pretty.
Is she really?
Yeah, she is.
The tiger.
But she's pretty. I thought she was good. I mean, they both were like, okay. I mean, I think I like Disha a little bit more.
Yeah, I thought she was more, like, she was a bit slightly too bubbly at times where it got like a bit too much. But especially like in the initial part where she first meets Dhoni. But I thought in general she was quite good.
Yeah, she wasn't bad. Like, it's like one of her first movies, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
But also, I mean, I think, yeah, Kiara was slightly, I think she did okay for most of it, but during, like, the emotional scenes where she had to cry and stuff, I think she struggled a bit there. But also, both actresses were only there for, like, a total of, I think, two scenes each. Or three, yeah. One song and two scenes each.
Yeah, they were kind of fit in there because he wanted them to be, I guess. I don't know. They didn't lend as much to the story. I guess they were fine. But yeah, like, I don't know if they added.
Yeah, I think they added to, like, okay, like, I feel like it's almost like as part of the story, you needed to have a romantic angle. You needed to touch on these two people. So you just did. And then you showed one song. And then you showed some, like, relationship. And you don't really delve in deeper. Like, I just thought it was a bit odd that, like, Dhoni is just randomly calling this girl, comes all the way to Aurangabad, and it just happens, you know? And then, like, he's clearly a commitment phobe. Like, that was clearly an issue.
Can we psychoanalyze Dhoni a little bit here?
I know. I feel like Shaz and I were having a very, like, intense banter during the movie, because
much to the dismay of people.
Yeah, I don't think people like the fact that I was just like,
this is a recurring theme whenever I speak to you guys. Someone in the theater is always annoyed at you.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna keep happening until you get a home theater.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, like, I was just not, I mean, I have my own personal views, I should not bring those in.
Please bring those in, that's what you're paid here.
That's why you're here.
This is why I have this part-time job, I know. But, but essentially, like this guy was, for the first girl, right? This guy was clearly a commitment phobe, and like, yeah. Not in that into it. And she was like just laughing about it. She was like, ha ha ha, like, you're getting so tense. And I was just like, dude, you're into this guy. You want to live with this guy. You want to marry this guy. And this guy is just like, not now. I'm not into it. And you're like, ha ha ha, so funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was just no reaction.
But I think there was still like an undertone of, you're always like, you're sure we have a lot of time left.
Yeah.
Right? And he kept saying, yeah. So I think she was okay with the fact that he let him get settled down, like, make his name in this team first. But I thought it was a bit strange as well.
One thing I liked about the movie in general was the context behind, or basically, they gave us context as to what was going on in his life at various important stages of Indian cricket, which is kind of nice, because as someone who's grown up watching cricket, you kind of remember those moments and you understand what was going on with him at that time, you know. So like one example was that NatWest series, right, where Yuvraj and KF won that final, and that was a funny moment where he was like, oh, I don't know if what Saurabh did with that shirt was good or bad or something. So at that time, like, Dhoni was nowhere, which was crazy, because he was already like 21-22, which is not old, but it's also like, by that time, a lot of cricketers you already know of.
I also like the moment in the 2003 World Cup final when India loses, where his friends in the railways are watching the match, and Dhoni goes inside, and one of them is like, oh, like, didn't Yuvraj and KF all start at the same
time? Yeah.
Like, they're all playing the World Cup, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was great. I really liked that part, because that really gave you context, because I realized that I hadn't heard of Dhoni until like 2004 or whatever, when he made his debut, obviously. So and that was fairly recently, and he was already like 23, 24 years old, and he just broke into the team. Before that, he was nobody. Like, that scene showed it really well, where the difference between being really good and being successful is slim. But I mean, I don't know if I'm even saying this right, but like, it could easily not happen for you, and then you're just left nowhere, you know.
Including, there was also that one part where I didn't fully get it. Maybe you guys can shed some light. But when he gets selected for the East Zone team for that match in Agartala, and he has to go to the airport, and his boss, like the manager of Central Coalfields, doesn't want to send him. I didn't get that. Like, there was that one phone call where he's like, he's talking to someone and he's like, how could you be so irresponsible? Like, Dhoni is going to lose such a big match or something. But
I think it was just they hadn't like prepared.
No, it was literally, that was just trying to show the kind of level of just the poor infrastructure in place in India for young sportsmen. And what had happened, he said that the letter was stuck in Jamshedpur or something, he said. So basically, like, he had got a call up, but he had never been informed of it until the day before, because the communication mechanism was so careless.
Yeah, that was one part. But once he gets there, it seemed very clearly like the guy did not want to send him, or was
it? No. It wasn't even that he didn't want to send him. It was literally that he just didn't care enough. And it was the day before, and he was tired, and he just got out of a meeting, and he was just like, oh shit, now I need to deal with this. Like, guys, just figure it out, because I just can't deal with it. And because he said, like, yeah, like, whatever, we'll reimburse it, but just figure out how to get there by yourself. He just, like, didn't want to invest time into it.
I feel like there may be probably, like, very, like, they're, like, specific processes or specific, like, things these guys do in advance of, like, just preparing for stuff like that. And, like, it was a day before, he was just, like, not going to, like, scramble last minute.
Yeah, he just didn't want to scramble last minute for this random dude who, I mean, he liked and stuff, but he just thought he was, like, one of the other guys.
Okay, maybe I was reading into it too much then, because I somehow thought there was, like, something sinister, because even in the start, when someone is like, why hasn't any kid from Bihar made it big in the national team, he's like हमें politics खेलना ज़्यादा पसंद है. So I thought there was some sinister elements there, but I guess not.
Yeah, and I don't think so. Not that I caught anyway. Yeah.
Music I thought was average.
Yeah. About the music, so like, okay, I'm gonna take this in a completely different direction, but tell me if I'm off.
Take a chance.
Tell me if I'm off
just
track.
Do it. Just do it.
But it's just, what do you guys think about a current cricketer having a movie made about him?
What do you mean? What do we think about it?
Like, it's not common. It's not, and usually, like, things are done to reflect on somebody's life independently. But this is kind of like egotistical, almost in a way, where it's like, hey, let me hire somebody to make a movie about me, and I'm gonna coordinate.
But that's not how it was, though. Like, Dhoni didn't commission the movie. Like, Neeraj Pandey wanted to make the movie.
So actually, Neeraj Pandey didn't want to make the movie. I think that other guy, what's his name? I don't even know his name. Asked Neeraj Pandey, said that I think there's a story there. Neeraj Pandey was like, I like totally not a fan of Dhoni. It was just like, okay, I don't know. Let me first meet the guy and see if I think there's a story there. Met the guy, spent a few days with him, and said that, you know what, I think there's a story.
Okay, got it. Okay, that makes a little more sense. And why I tied that into your question about the songs is that it's such a current story, and it's a real story, right? And just like dramatizing that in a way that is so typical Bollywood of, like, you know, like putting up these songs of people singing in whatever, in forests and dreaming about being together.
I
mean,
but I thought generally the whole romantic angles were, I'm very curious to know how many of those conversations actually happened. Like Disha Patani saying, oh, you'll play tomorrow and you'll do really well.
Yeah.
Or Dhoni saying, you know, when he proposes to her and she's like, are you sure? And he's like, as sure as I am of scoring a century in the next match, and then he scores a century. Like, I'm very doubtful that those things
happen. Yeah, as soon as he said that, I turned to Manchan and was like, he's not very sure of marrying this girl. But then I was hoping to God that he scored a century in the next match, and he did, so it's fine, whatever. He really saved his ass.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so, I mean, that whole track, I think, was not really in keeping with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, just like having a biopic of someone who's actually like literally lived this life like over the last 10 years, and then randomly putting songs in there where he's like romancing a girl to these songs, and it's like, okay, fine, like,
yeah,
but I don't really understand.
I think like it's just like the general like formula of just appealing to. You put those songs there, at least you know a few, like, the majority of people who are viewing this movie will at least appreciate it. I think a lot of it is that. It's like there's a formula and there's, like, you know, certain type of, like, group of people you want to, like, target. And they'll appreciate those songs.
Yeah, so that's fine as a commercial thing, I guess. But, like, I don't know. If I was doing it, I'd find it really strange. Like, watching...
I would find...
The whole thing strange, like, probably.
I would find the whole thing strange if I was only like watching a movie about yourself.
And just like some of the conversations we played out, like especially the personal ones.
Yeah, I found that odd. Like, this is romantic and personal conversations. Yeah. Like, clearly,
let me just tell the whole world about it as if they should know about it.
You but like, you know what's crazy is like, if it's actually not true, people assume that that's actually what happened.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, you want to recount your life, but then you're recounting your life in a way that's actually false. So it's like, it's very like ironic, I think. Yeah, that's why I don't feel like very good about the romantic side in these like biopics. So much of that is so personal. It's like, no one's going to tell you the truth. And even if they do, it's just hard to emulate that experience.
It seems like unnecessary.
Yeah,
it's like, why do you have to go over this like, detail as to what your girlfriend said to you on your first, like, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, unless it adds some kind of impact to the story, like in Mary Kom, the fact that her husband is always by her side supporting her and takes care of, like, the kids in the house while she's away, that makes a difference to the actual story and to her development.
Yeah, fair enough.
Person. Over here, I don't think it did.
No.
There was potential to show how, like, the incident with his first girlfriend affected him, but they didn't really. go to that.
Exactly. Like, the point of, like, the first girlfriend, I feel, yeah, they show that he was, like, doing, like, badly. But, like, it was, like, what? That spanned, like, 3 minutes? Less, maybe?
No, and that's kind of why I think that he might have had more of an influence on the content that was shown than you would think, because otherwise there's no reason to put that in there. But unless he thought that, hey, let me, like, pay a tribute to this girl who's important to me by having her in this movie and showing her, showing that she was important to me, that would make more sense to me of, like, just pushing that into the storyline. But anyway.
Okay. Final thoughts on MSD before we move on to other things?
I liked it overall. I thought it was a touch long, but I thought it was well made, which is more than you can say about a lot of movies these days.
Yeah, I also think, like, I agree. Like, I think a lot of it is, like, your benchmark, right? For what you've been seeing. So if you see a lot of rubbish, this sort of stuff, like, tends to be good. I mean, I've also been, like, lucky I've seen Pink and I really enjoyed it. So for me, Dhoni was good, and I also was benchmarking against Azhar, which was a total disaster.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem when you're reviewing Bollywood movies. It's like, objectively, they may not be great, but when you compare it against half the other stuff that comes out.
Exactly. You can't really, like, yeah. So, I mean, but I think, like, Sushant Singh Rajput, he's always very fun to watch. And I also thought this movie had a lot of, like, interesting, funny elements. that, like, were just, you know, in the movie. Quirky. That, like, they're just quirky, like, very Indian things that were just really funny. And I think the women are really, the people who are, like, adding that, like, comedy. Anything from, no, like...
I also really enjoyed, we didn't mention, we're talking about supporting characters, his coach.
The first one who discovered him? As
well. Banerjee?
Yeah, Rajesh Sharma, yeah, Banerjee.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I thought he was hilarious, and, like, the scenes where he's at the fish market, like, with his wife.
Yeah.
And, like, they're, like, fighting. Like, I thought
those were good. And then when he's, like, sitting in front of the TV, or I don't know if it was him even, but she's like, no matter what happens, she's like, you want tea now.
And then what is it? Chittu are, eh? Chittu chare.
That was a tough scene,
That was, like, a really good scene. Yeah. And then, of course, Santosh.
Yeah, Santosh was good. I thought they did the Bihari accents well when he was a kid. They did that one a lot,
Yeah, so, I mean, overall, enjoyed the movie. Thought there was funny elements. Definitely very long. But it was nice just seeing, like, him from before Ticket Collector days. Because I didn't really understand this. Like, I've always heard Dhoni was a ticket collector.
Yeah.
But I didn't really understand what that meant. Like, the fact that it was a part of, like, a sports quota. The fact that he was actually playing at the same time. Like, for me, it was like, oh, he was just a conductor and then he was magically a cricketer. Like, this actually gave some understanding. Yeah,
playing for the railways was an important step there. In
between. Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So, it was good.
The movie is, of course, doing fantastically well. It made, like, 20 crores on opening day.
Damn!
Which is the second highest opening this year after Sultan.
Wow, that's actually really
good. Shruti, what did you think about it?
About the movie?
Yes.
Did I not just say that in the last, like, half an hour?
We've been talking about this. Like, has an issue with, like, listening to you, Fish. I've just realized that he just does it, like, all he says is Fisherodi, but doesn't actually, like, absorb what you say.
Thanks, Manchev. I was just looking for final comments.
It's true, though.
I thought it was, like, well made. I wouldn't say it was necessarily... I wouldn't say that necessarily means it was good, but it was like, okay, like there's nothing like special or amazing. I don't think you're missing a lot if you don't watch it, but if you do watch it, it's still like worth the time, even though it's 3 hours, it's still reasonably entertaining and keeps you occupied.
Shaz, are you done breaking my life? Shaz almost broke like furniture in my room right now while you were talking. Like, he literally like kicked something, almost broke my lamp. During this entire process.
It's because you revealed his secret that he doesn't actually listen to me.
Yeah, exactly. So since then, he's just been like kicking things in my room.
Beasting around, as always.
Alright.
Okay, Shaz.
I think he hurt himself. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay. What is happening here?
Did I kick something?
Okay, Shaz.
Yeah.
Speaking of beasting around, we're going to talk about John Abraham and Force 2. I think Shaz could easily play John Abraham in a
biopic. Oh my gosh.
I don't know about that. See, I need to...
He just doesn't have as much swag, but he could do it.
I think I need to get on the diet of those Russian Olympians first. I just watched that trailer. I thought it looked pretty slick. I haven't actually seen Force 1, or maybe just Force, but this looks good. I think I'd watch this movie. It looked kind of like Die Hard, yeah? But obviously it has that ISI raw twist to it, which all these movies seem to have. But yeah, it looks like a good trailer. John Abraham, just like a force of nature.
I'm going to assume from that reaction, Charles, that you have not seen any of John Abraham's films this year.
I have not.
Which were Rocky Handsome or Dishoom. I think you would be a lot less excited if you had seen those two films.
quite possibly.
Yeah, I thought that... Also, is Sonakshi now going from like damsel in distress / village girl to action girl? Like, what's the deal? It's like she's doing an entire brand makeover. I feel like this is a very specific strategy in her like PR.
Or she just read a script and she liked it.
No, this doesn't happen.
Sonakshi once said, when faced with criticism, that she always plays a damsel in distress and those type of roles, that I make the type of movies that I feel like watching.
Yeah, I know, so she heard that.
Maybe she's going through a phase where she's really angry and just wants to watch people beating each other up.
Or maybe she wants to be a damsel in distress rescued by John Abraham in an action sort of context.
But that's not what she is here, right? She's an agent herself.
I mean, she is, but she could still be in distress at some point.
But then John is in distress, so they're both in distress, and then they like rescue each other.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure we're like...
Spoiler alert!
I'm just making sure we're like talking in terms of.
I don't think people are that curious about the plot line predictions of this movie.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I thought it was like a very like I thought it was definitely looked more like slick and interesting than Force. But I thought it was cool. I mean, agreed. John has done some like really dumb movies like Rocky Handsome.
No, but John is just the same. He's the same in every movie. Exactly. He has the same one expression. He just looks like a brick. He is literally just looks like a bag of steroids who's moving. In every movie, he has some tragic element or backstory which makes him this like hard, emotionless like killer, which they talk about here as well. Like his mother died 5 years ago or something.
His wife.
Why?
Oh, wife, sorry.
Come on, Kishori.
I lost patience with this trailer very early, as you can tell.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, great. This is another John Abraham movie, which is going to have tons of plot holes.
Hey, when did One Dimensional... When did being One Dimensional hurt people like Salman Khan, Bruce Willis?
It's a valid point. I don't enjoy...
Jason Statham. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
Robin.
He's like so hot, dude. He's just so hot.
Iron Robin. I haven't seen Iron Robin's latest movies yet. But...
Me neither. I hear there's some dust classics.
Sorry, Mancha. We just casually interrupted whatever you were
saying. No, it's fine. I'm just saying how hot John was.
Oh, okay. I'm glad we casually
interrupted. Yeah, okay. Then I'm glad we interrupted that.
Cause you're jealous.
I'm what?
You're just jealous of John.
Quite possibly, but I don't know what that has to do with this podcast.
I mean, the fact that you interrupted me discussing John's, like, sexiness and hotness is, like, clear evidence that you're, like, jealous, so you don't want to hear more about him.
I'd love to hear about it, but let's not waste our listeners' time.
Okay, fine.
Remember the psychoanalysis of Dhoni? You got one of yourself.
Oof. I mean, I'm hearing that constantly. Let's move on to the next trailer.
The mancha, the amount of wine being consumed in this podcast is just great.
This is like the end of the wine.
While you all pour each other wine, I will set up the next trailer, which was the second official trailer of Mirzia. Clearly, the first trailer didn't have the desired impact, so they felt like they needed a second one. Thoughts?
It looks very confusing.
Yes, that has been my reaction for like every piece of thing they've put out, piece of promotions they've put out for this movie.
Yeah, like I actually watched the interview with Rajiv Masand and Harshvardhan Kapoor. And I don't think they're trying to like make people realize that there's like a connection. So there's like two parallel stories happening essentially. And they actually shot these like at separate time frames. Like literally, like when they shot these, they shot one like time frame in like 3 months, stopped for 2 months, and then like shot the other part of the story like after those 2 months. So it's like they wanted it to be like two different movies. I don't know how that's gonna work. But I feel like Rakesh, Om Prakash Mehra is all about the like, you know, parallel like scenes with like Randeep Basanti. But like I don't know how this is gonna work because it's like very interesting. But I feel like I literally have like no reaction whatsoever because I don't have any association with Harshvardhan Kapoor. I don't know what he's like. He seemed like relatively intelligent on like Masand's show.
Shaz looks like thoroughly perplexed by this.
I don't know which direction you're going with this.
All my direction is purely like I'm confused.
Yeah, I know. I
that's literally what it is. Like I don't know how to react. Like it's interesting that they like I don't understand whether they're trying to lace those two movies together or those two like characters together, given the fact that they like shot them at separate time frames.
Uh-huh.
Like it seems like I don't like basically from what I've understood from the interview was like. Rakesh Om Prakash Mehra said that I don't want it to seem as if there's any link between these two people.
But yeah,
it comes out next week actually.
Oh really? The trailer, I don't know, it just seemed like they were trying too hard to seem very like artsy. Like, a lot of dramatic, like really dramatic stuff was happening, and I just like looking at the kinds of characters that they were showing and the things they were doing, and I'm just like, I don't know what they're trying to do here. But maybe the trailer was just to like pique people's curiosity by confusing them and wanting to make them want to learn more in the movie. But what did you think, Pesh?
Yeah, completely agree with all of that. I mean, I thought the first trailer was confusing. This one did not do anything to ease that confusion. What just happened?
Taz just hit me.
Oh my goodness, are you serious? That is
okay. I'm gonna keep going and pretending like whatever is happening here is. Pretty sure y'all are violating some employee policies right now. But
hey, what are you trying to do? But, just getting overexcited with the wine.
Interesting. Go on.
Yeah, no, I just didn't get it, to be honest, even with the second trailer. Not particularly excited to watch the movie, but I will most likely end up watching it next week, and that will be what the podcast is about. So
nice.
Look out for that.
When's Force 2 coming out?
Force 2 is releasing on 18th November.
Okay, it's a little ways away. Yeah, right.
You might be requested back on the podcast for that one because I don't think anyone else.
I really think
because you always bring me in for like certain typecast sort of movies.
It's basically the movie that no one else wants to review, so you're like the backup.
Thanks for spelling it out.
That's not true. That's not true.
Really?
Bajrangi Bhaijaan.
Who wanted to review that?
Lots of people watch Salman movies.
That's true.
Yeah, but like, Pish, I feel like our podcasts don't get as many like views or listens as other people's, right?
What are you talking about? The Bajrangi podcast is doing really well.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Is doing, he says. I mean, people continue to listen to
it. So, when you've like run a few of your analytics, like, what have you figured out on like what people like? Like, is there like a correlation with like specific things?
Apparently, people really, I'm going to edit this out of the podcast, but apparently, people really like Mehak Chadda's voice because her episodes are like by far the best.
Is it because she has like a generally like influential network and those people listen to it?
No, I don't think the people who are listening to the podcast are part of her influential network.
Pish, can I get on a podcast with Mehak Chadda?
You can.
I want
to
get my...
I try to make that happen.
That's very mean, Shaz. You cannot say these things in front of me. I honestly feel between you and me, my voice is definitely radio, like, it's definitely, like, made for the radio.
It's definitely radioactive.
Yeah, it's very radioactive. Your voice is,
I remember when I started this podcast, Mansha told me I have the looks for radio.
I do have the looks for radio.
Not particularly encouraging. That was actually quite funny. I'm going to keep it in. Okay.
I stole that from Ayushman Khurrana, by the way.
Okay, wait. Last agenda item before we wrap this up. Clearly, Shaz and Manjar seem ready to wrap this up already. But we are going to discuss Karan Deol's launch into Bollywood.
What was that? I'm not understanding. Is it like a Swayambar?
It's an audition.
It's a Swayambar, like Rakhi Sawant's Swayambar.
What's a Swayambar?
So, okay, Shaz, we'll educate you another time. But for listeners who do not have the context, there's basically a video on YouTube which was put up, which talks about the Deol legacy. And it is talks about how Dharmendra has launched Sunny Deol opposite this actress and Bobby Deol opposite Twinkle Khanna and, you know, Abhay Deol, etc. And it said the next actor is going to be Karan Deol. And it's basically an audition call for, like, his leading lady. And it was just a bizarre video on the whole. What did you guys think?
I actually quite liked it. I thought,
What did you like about it, Chess?
It was quite artistically done. I could easily imagine any actress, potential actress wanting to be the girl twirling in the rain in that video. Yeah, I mean, Sunny Deol is launching a movie that he wants his son to act in. It's a pure, and now he just wants to launch an actress in it.
And we have to make and like the only requirement is that she must have finished school.
She should. She doesn't even need to be of a certain age. If she's a prodigy and she finished like school at 14, it's fine. Like, you can be the leading lady. Don't worry about it.
Mansha, are you going to audition?
You know, to be honest.
Mansha, where's your high school diploma? Show it right now.
That's actually a good point. I don't think I have proof that I actually graduated high school.
That is okay by Sunny Deol.
I think, like, honestly, he'd, like, take me in a heartbeat. But...
Are you from Delhi, though? Are you from Delhi?
Oh, you're so true. You're so right. They only look at Delhi girls.
They're only looking at Delhi girls.
Yeah, they're only looking at Delhi girls. So I don't think I make the cut. But I was considering it, I won't lie. I think I should. I need to figure out how to take leave from work. Once I do that, I'll definitely make my way to Delhi.
You mean from your part-time job? Quit,
I mean, like...
Yeah. The part-time job that I drink at.
Okay, I'm going to put an end to this conversation right now.
Pishori.
Apparently, we got a comment from a listener on the iTunes store, which said, most of the guests are just here to fan the male host's ego. So... I'm not sure how I feel about that. So we're not going to fan Mansha's ego. Although it's someone else's ego, so maybe it's okay. But, you know. Everyone else who's listening, please review us on the iTunes store and give us good ratings. Because another frustrating thing, which I'm just going to rant about now, is the iTunes store only shows reviews of the country that your store is in.
Oh.
So, given that I have a global audience... in one country, the podcast may be rated, like, fairly highly. But in the US, the podcast is rated 1 star because of this one dude who is not happy with my ego being kind of
happy. It's really funny.
Pishori, can I make a confession?
Yes, that was you.
I may have been the one day.
Damn it. Yes.
No, I'm kidding. But that would be
I'll invite you for more podcasts. No worries.
All right.
But thank you for being here. Mansha has gone to get more wine, so we can't say bye to her.
No, I'm here. I'm not getting more wine.
Okay. I'm thanks, done. Guys, for being here.
Thanks for having us, Pishori Brody.
We'll have you back much sooner, I promise. Thanks so much for listening. That was our show, and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.